Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons, and this is the Capital City Recap. A busy show today. We'll be talking to a Michigan entertainment lawyer about the film incentives and the fact that they're being limited now to $25 million. And also we'll be discussing charter schools. They're now online charter schools, and we'll find out how those work. But first, Republican State Senator Mike Kowal announcing that he'll be running for Thaddeus McCotter's congressional seat in the 11th District as McCotter himself runs for the White House. This, as Kowal chairs the Senate Economic Development Committee and is focusing on the proposed bridge between Detroit and Canada. To talk about all that, I'm joined by Senator Kowal. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
Congressman McCotter has not yet indicated whether or not he plans to run for re-election for his House seat, even as he is a presidential candidate. McCotter has been elected 5 consecutive terms now. If he does end up running to keep his seat, isn't that likely to be a major impact on your campaign?
Well, that's a discussion that Congressman McCotter and I will have when the time comes. But I've always known Thaddeus to be a man of his word, and one of these fellows that very much steeped in his convictions. And if he's running for president, I take him at that.
Now, you've indicated that if you were elected to the U.S. Congress, you would vote against raising the debt ceiling, which is obviously the top issue in Washington right now. Although, isn't a compromise going to have to be reached that involves raising that ceiling to avoid the disastrous economic consequences?
Well, I would assume that there'd be some amendments, but not necessarily a dramatic compromise. We as a people in the country have gotten to a point where, you know, we've extended our credit where enough is enough. I believe it was 41 cents on every dollar that the government spends is borrowed. And it's borrowed from either China or other countries. And, you know, to maintain our sovereignty and to maintain the security of the nation, and above all, our AAA bond rating, I would think we'd want to mitigate any kind of damage in that regard.
You know, Republicans are refusing to consider raising taxes on the rich as part of a debt ceiling deal. That's something that has well over 60% of public support in a recent poll. Is that something that you could support?
Well, I've seen the rich described as an income pretty much between a school teacher and a police officer. So, you know, that leaves a lot to be described as what the rich is. And a lot of small business people, their incomes overall in the gross would put them in that rich category, and they're taxed enough.
President Obama, he's not having very much luck creating jobs, but it's not clear if congressional Republicans have been presenting any better ideas. Is there any national approach you'd support that would, in fact, spur job growth in this country?
Well, I think what we have to do is look at what we've been doing here in Michigan. We've lowered the tax rate overall, getting rid of the MBT and the surcharge. We did change the corporate tax rate. And it's taken us from probably 48th or 49th in the country to between 16 and 20 nationally, and that's been in the last 6 months. So it can be done.
Are you saying on a national scale that lowering the corporate tax rate nationally would be something that that you'd be supporting then?
Well, we need to look at where we stand in the world. Why don't people come here and do business? Let me ask you this question. Why is it that all our drug companies are moving offshore? Why is it that all our injectable drugs, all our vaccines, penicillin is not even created in the United States anymore? And it's not done here because of the legal issues and people suing. It's done here because of the tax liability. And we need to ask the questions, why is it that if we need vaccines for our kids, that we go to places like India and China?
Well, you know, another aspect is the wages that these countries provide to their workers, which is so much lower than anything we see here. Isn't a living wage an important factor when it comes to considering
these
issues?
Well, sure, it's a major factor. But you have to understand, too, that we work smarter and better here in this country, where when we see something that's so labor-intensive, we look at it, analyze it, figure out how to put the robotics to work, to put technology to work. In India and China, they just bring more people in from the farm fields and from a variety of different places and put them to work in the factories. China has to create an additional 1 million jobs a year just to keep things static. And if you think about that, that's just phenomenal.
I wonder, when you look at the Obama administration's foreign relations policies, when you look at his approach to the Middle East, let's say, and his plans to begin troop drawdowns in Afghanistan, is there anything you think he's doing right at this point?
Well, you know, we have to analyze it, and I think what we've learned historically is that, you know, when politicians get involved in conflicts, when negotiations reach a point where you're putting troops in, that's when you really need to listen to your people in the field and your generals, and you know, really stand back and take and let them do what they do, because you know, any type of military conflict is political negotiations at a whole different level.
And when you look at the Middle East in a larger context, for example, his approach towards Iran, which has been to not be very confrontational with that country, is that something you agree with, or do you think we should be more aggressive in that part of the world?
Well, I think we not necessarily military aggressive, but we need to be aggressive to a point that we're not getting pushed around. We're still the most powerful country in the world. And with that said, there's no point in sitting back and becoming a wallflower. You have to use that. You have to use all your monetary leverage that you can and move forward.
Turning to state issues, you're the chair of the Senate Economic Development Committee. You've been at the center of the discussions on this proposed public bridge between Detroit and Canada. Is this the right time to begin this multi-billion-dollar project?
Well, to say I've been in the center, it's like saying you're in the eye of a hurricane. And right now, we've managed to take it from gale force winds to we are in the center of the hurricane right now, where it all kinds of it calms down for a moment, and we're able to to regroup and take a good look at it. We're still having hearings this summer. We have one coming up on August 15th. And we're taking the committee down into Detroit. A lot of my committee members are from, it's a very diverse group. They're from all over the state. And we want to get them down into the Delray area. We want them to look at what's going on, what the possibilities are, all the good and the bad. So we're, we're moving forward in that regard. As far as the state taking on a $4 billion debt, well, that's a very perplexing question at this point in time.
I see. So in terms of this, Governor Snyder initially wanted a decision to be made before the summer break, and now that clearly was not going to happen. And is the sense now that we might not be ready to make a decision maybe even this year?
Well, we have to have more committee. I really can't say that because I work very closely with both my minority chair and my vice chair, Dave Hildebrand, and we're discussing this a lot internally. But mostly, we need to get to the bottom of all the questions that are being answered. And quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot of really clear answers from both sides. Not saying that anybody's lying, but the term the phrase I've been using is the truth as people perceive it to be, and we need to get that all cleared up because $4 billion. That's a lot of money for the people of the state of Michigan to take up in debt.
Well, and the thing is, the question comes down to need. The owner of the Ambassador Bridge obviously says there's really no need because the current traffic on the Ambassador is dropping. Do you see an ultimate need for a second bridge, either now or in the future?
Of according to the Cranes magazine, as of I believe yesterday, there was a report put out that the truck traffic went down another 6%. Now, regular residential traffic, non-commercial, went up a little bit, but that's because of the summer, vacation traffic. But right now today, do we need a bridge today? The answer is no. Do we need a bridge in 25, 30 years? Well, that's something that we're examining.
You know, finally, in session yesterday, the Senate rejected the House bill's version of reforms to the state employee health care plan. The Senate's version limiting public employers at the state and local level to pay no more than 80% of the cost of the employee health care benefit packages. The House preferred a hard dollar limit. Can you explain the difference between these two versions?
Well, what the Senate was looking for was more of a what was not a hard cap. And there was a couple other small variables in there, and there again, that's in the Reinvent Michigan Committee, of which I do sit on. So we sent it back over to the House, and what that'll do is it'll trigger a conference committee between the House and the Senate, and we'll have a conference committee on it, and we'll hammer out the differences.
Senator Mike Kowal, the chair of the state Senate Economic Development Committee, and also a congressional candidate in the 11th District. Thank you for joining me, Senator Kowal.
Thank you for having me on, Michael, and we'll look forward to talking to you again.
Excellent.